This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. He was on my show back in July 11th of this year. We're talking no other than Medicine Man Technologies, Inc. They trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol MDCL. And their second quarter, their revenues were about $1.4 million. That's seven consecutive quarters of growth, up 61%. And with us today to talk about his company is the co-founder and CEO, Brett Roper. Brett, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks. Glad to be here today.
You know, you recently gave some guidance and some suggestions of your revenues, and they're going up substantially again this year compared to last year. What is the outlook for profitability, and what are the elements that are affecting this growth in your company?
Well, primarily as we look into this year, most of the growth is going to come from continued revenue expansion within our licensing and services division. And then we've taken on a new company called Success Nutrients just over a year ago. So we have revenues that are beginning to accrete up to that particular operation. But more importantly, we recently have done some master licensing up in Canada. So our third quarter revenue cycle, I think we've already given guidance going from 1.4 up to, I think, 4.5 million in the third quarter with probably at least a couple $1 million on the bottom line. So the growth we've been achieving is pretty extraordinary. So that's that's kind of one of the main elements of how we've been able to grow that way.
You know, recently you put out a press release about Canada House. I think they trade on the CSE under ticker symbol CHV. Why them? And how are you guys going to monetize this new relationship?
Well, Canada House, CHV, was actually a Cultivation Max client. They are probably no more than a couple of weeks away from starting their grow. They've been approved by Health Canada, and I believe they're going to be getting their first flower table set here towards the end of the month, early October. And in talking with them over the summer, we agreed that we needed to have a voice and somebody to carry our flag in Canada. And with this new micro cultivator element that's being offered in Canada that will be effective later this year, which has a 200 meter limitation, our protocols and methodologies are ideal for that. And people that track the LPs, some very good folks up there in Canada, whether you're looking at Canopy, Organigram, Aurora, TGOD, any of the others that are there, you can examine their financials, and clearly they're not efficient growers from an all-in cost basis as yet. I believe, at some point they'll be able to be better, but we really think the micro grower, the micro cultivator element is going to be a really good underpinning for Canadian access to good raw materials. And we typically see our clients growing in that $1 to $1.50 per gram fully loaded. Now, when you read the Canadian information, you have to remember that's just the cost of cultivation. You throw in sales and marketing, packaging, overhead, all the other debt and elements that they currently carry, you find a whole different set of numbers. CanTrust, for example, last quarter, I think, reported almost $13 million in expense when you net out everything. So, most people are not yet hitting that level of efficiency, and we believe Canada House Wellness, with their active veterans position and their clinics around the country and their aspirations for growth, make an ideal partner for us. So they're going to become our deployment arm in Canada. From this from back in late July forward, we're shifting all of our inquiries to that group to follow up and to get started with. So we're pretty excited about that.
You've been listening to Brett Roper. He is the CEO of Medicine Man Technologies, Inc. You can find him on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol MDCL. How would you compare your company, say, to some of your peers, perhaps General Cannabis Corporation, American Cannabis? I know that a lot of CEOs kind of look to their peers and say, hey, are we above the curve line or below the curve line?
Well, General Cannabis and American Cannabis are, I guess, relative peers within this space. I know General Cannabis showed probably several $1 million of the losses of the first two quarters. and no significant revenue growth, and yet they're valued at roughly 3 or 4 times our market cap. So if I were to compare myself with them, and once again, Bob and his group do a good job, but if I'm comparing financials and performance, there's really, you know, there's a fairly big delta in where we've gone and where we're moving towards and where they are today. So once again, good company. I know they're doing things well, but our revenue cycle is probably going to be double or triple what theirs is this year, and we'll be profitable, and they'll likely post substantial losses again into this new year. So, you know, they're getting their processes better defined, and I'm sure they'll be a very successful company in the future, but we probably, you know, I would say at this point, we're probably a better investment than them, but that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. American Cannabis recently lost their CFO due to a personal tragedy, and I know they haven't been able to report for a while. Late last year, we were pretty much neck and neck on revenue growth, and I really haven't been able to keep up with Terry Buffalo this last 3 or 4 months. I know they're hopeful to get their Q's and K caught up here in the next couple of months. I know they've hired a new CFO, and we wish them the best. They're probably, once again, they're a good company moving ahead, but once again, I can look at our progress in the space. Tilray, you know, they showed $9 million in revenues with about $11 million loss, and they have one current market cap of $15 billion. We're projecting $9 million plus with a $2 plus million profit for the year. Even if I just say I'm one quarter or one fifth or one tenth of them, seems to me we'd be worth several hundred million dollars on our market cap as well. So no rhyme or reason in this space right now. And I think once again, it's just a matter of, we've always chose to be a little more quiet in our approach to, you know, letting people know about what we do. Although we have a fairly robust shareholder base, my last NOBO list came in at about 4,300 folks. So with the OBO side, that's probably extrapolated up around 6,000 or 7,000 people that are, you know, have access or have bought our stock. So we're not doing too bad. We're just looking forward to getting the attention we need as far as growing our company downstream.
You know, speaking of Denver and Terry Buffalo, what's going on with your retail site over there with Big Tomato? Can you bring us up to speed on that?
Sure. We had visited with them late this summer and had come up into a term sheet in August for acquisition of the retail store. We were able to execute on that and get that finalized this past Monday. Big Tomato, I believe, was on track for about $2.5 million in revenues this year. Obviously, we won't be the beneficiary of that. That value will be the beneficiary of the fourth quarter and a small piece of their third quarter operations. But they have great relationships with vendors. And as we grow our company and have more and more clients, one of the things we're really trying to do is to make sure our clients get best pricing on lighting, everything from tables, benches, you know, anything that has to do with their grow. And with Big Tomato, we feel like our clients should be able to get as good a price as they can get anywhere in the industry. And it once again helps support where we're going as a company as well. So we're excited that they're now a part of our team. They have, I think, 6 full-timers. But we're looking forward. We're not going to grow the brick side of the business. This is more or less a fulfillment, you know, play, as well as what we do in Denver and with other clients. So our aspirations is not to be a grow generation with, you know, 100 stores across the U.S. This is kind of a singular, picked out of the right crop of available candidates, and we hope to be able to monetize that value by upselling and making sure all of our current clients, when they're buying 600, you know, Phantom lights at a time, we hope to be able to give them best pricing through our Big Tomato relationship.
You know, I know recently you had a interesting observation about brand evolution and the Canadian market space up there at the Benzinga Cannabis Investors Conference. Can you tell us what your thoughts were?
Well, I view the Canadian market as an extraordinary marketplace and opportunity. They're obviously well ahead of the game as far as public company access to capital. But just like GM, you know, GM doesn't make their brake pads and their tires. They assemble materials, and just like your better microbrewers, distilleries, they don't grow their own hops, their own materials. They typically buy their materials from good practitioners that they have relationships with. Looking at Canopy, looking at Organigram, looking at CanTrust and their cost to grow, we feel like over time, the market's going to evolve into great brands, and they will likely begin to fall back on raw material suppliers that are good material suppliers in their space, rather than continue to try to grow their own, because their cost of growing, to be honest with you, fully loaded, I don't see how they're ever going to get that price down to that $1.50 range. And they'll be well served by focusing their money and their expansion into their brands and the value that they're creating, rather than trying to become efficient growers, which, once again, in greenhouses, there are lots of great ways to grow. We kind of say there's no wrong way to grow, but when yields are 60, 70 grams a square foot of flower, and indoors we're pulling typically 120, 130, you know, there's a substantial difference both in quality and our ability to produce a consistent product on a regular basis. So Canada, while they have that head start right now, the other thing they do not have is a concentrates market. The United States has, you know, the only really evolved and mature concentrates market in the world. So you have people like The Incredibles, Juana Brand, Santa Dolores, Venice Cookie, Mary's Medicinals. These are all companies that have been around for years and years that have, you know, really paid the price to evolve their brand and their product qualities. And whether you're looking for a gummy, a chocolate, a baked good, a vape product, these are all companies that have forged ahead, well ahead of the Canadians, because the Canadians typically can sell a gel capsule and raw flour, and that's pretty much the end of what they can do today. Now, a year or so from now, hopefully Canada will allow a more robust concentrates model to evolve, but for the moment there really is none in Canada, and which is why you see a lot of those LPs coming south into the U.S. and locking up and licensing up some of these best brands and these best practices, so they won't have to reinvent the wheel. So I salute them for their for their planning and their strategy, because I think that's an extraordinary admission that, yeah, we don't have today, but when we do have it, let's not start behind the eight ball. Let's find these great brands that are already out there and evolving.
Well, Brett, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. Before I let you go, what would you like my listeners to take away from this interview?
Well, our company is growing at, I think, a very steady clip. We have a very small outstanding and a fairly low float. We've recently filed our application for QX, and I really believe we'll probably be uplisted to the QX level with the OTC markets here in the next 30 to 45 days. So we're trying to do things correctly. We weren't a reverse merger, a blank check company. We established ourselves with an S1. Our pedigree and history is well known, and we have a great name in the space. And I think downstream, you know, our stock at this point is very undervalued. And I think anybody picking up some now is going to be very pleased with the performance that they see over the next year or two.
Medicine Man Technologies is a company that we've been highlighting today here on Stock Day. Brett, I want to thank you for stopping by, bringing us up to speed, and, you know, giving us a look behind the scenes of what's going on. I wish you nothing but continued success. Hopefully you'll come back on the show in about 40 or 50 days and give us an update of what's going on.
Thanks so much for your time today, and thanks to your listeners for giving me the attention.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or this station.